Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you may know that the Feast of Christ the King was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925. This was a response to the growing nationalism and secularism of that time. So almost 100 years later, I think we could argue that we share some of those same concerns, not only in our own country, but throughout the world. And as Christians, we must always remember that Christ is King over all creation. Politicians and governments come and go. Empires rise and fall. But the reign of Christ is forever. It reminds me of the words of Psalm 146. "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that day, their plans perish." Which brings us to what we mean when we say Christ is our King. Kings and rulers of the world not only have power and authority, but they operate in ways that doesn't tend to be as benevolent as we would hope. Often we will recall that when Jesus is on the scene in the Gospels, he did not come and behave in a way that some were expecting a Messiah to behave. They were looking for a political revolutionary warrior. However, I'm not sure that on some level that has really gone away. The image of Christ crucified on the cross, the idea of a crucified God, is still an image and concept that those inside the church, not just outside the church, find troubling and struggle with. On the feast of Christ the King, our gospel lesson is from Luke, with Jesus being crucified on the cross. It's an image of Jesus dying on the cross that we get when we reflect on Jesus being our King. And this is most certainly in contrast to our understanding of a king and a ruler in the world that has any kind of authority. This week I shared with you an image of Jesus that people prefer. It's not hard to find some of these toxic masculine images of Jesus that make Jesus look more like Rambo or John Wayne than it does just accurately portraying him as Christ crucified. The desire to have a warrior ensuring that we have power and privilege, that's more appealing than the suffering servant who commands us to love one another. I heard Professor Galloway this week. He's a business professor. He was commenting on Elon Musk, but he said this about society as a whole. I think it speaks to really what we're drawn to as people. He says, as societies become wealthier and more educated, the reliance of a super being and church attendance go down. But they still look for idols. Into that void has stepped technology leaders, because technology is the closest thing we have to magic. Our new Jesus Christ was Steve Jobs. And now Elon Musk has taken on that mantle. And every ridiculously mean, nonsensical, irrational move he makes is somehow seen as a chess move and not checkers. And there's somebody else making commenting on that very same concept, that as a society we worship money. And these leaders become messiahs. If you follow the news, Elizabeth Holmes, one of these leaders, she was just sentenced to prison. There's a scandal in the cryptocurrency world with Sam Bankman-Fried. That's who we're drawn to. So it's not just political or government authorities. It's also people on the secular level that we want to cling to and idolize. But here's the interesting thing that I find that Professor Galloway points out here. He says that societies are wealthier and more educated. There's less need for this super being, God. Less need for church, religion. He's certainly not the only one to make the point, but he makes the point in a sense that once we become more evolved as human beings, we need God and religion in general much less. But the very next thing that he says is that people still look for idols. And then what steps into the void are these idols. If we don't need something anymore because we're more evolved as human beings, why are we still looking for something? Why would we bother looking for anything? There's still that void. There's still that need. And we fill it with things that are often empty promises that lead us to dead ends. In his critique of Elon Musk, it's also this phenomenon how we can be attracted to this mean, bully-like personality that for some reason is applauded by many. It's a sign of strength. It's the kind of king that we envision in the world. But the king we get is nailed to a cross. The king we get does not push people to the margins. He ministered to them. The king we get did not come into the world to be served, but to serve. If Jesus was the king that the world envisioned, he would have come down from the cross. And those that are mocking him in our gospel lesson were inviting him to do just that. But the king that we get dies on the cross. That's one of the reasons why people think the cross is foolish. In our gospel lesson, everyone thinks Jesus is a fool, except for one criminal that's crucified next to him, that comes to the point in believing that no authority in this world can save him. The only one that can save him, his only hope for salvation, is the one who's beside him, nailed to the cross. Rulers, nations, governments, technology, our material possessions, none of that can ultimately save us. None of that can ultimately fulfill us. And as a powerful government puts Jesus to death, it doesn't have the last word. That criminal beside Jesus was given a promise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus, our King, has the last word. And his word that is displayed in his faithfulness displays that God's love will ultimately prevail. When our King is mocked in this world, we would expect retaliation. But instead, Jesus, our King, shows mercy. When our King is crucified, we would expect condemnation to be the last word. But instead, Jesus, our King, shows forgiveness. When our King is betrayed, we would expect him only to worry about himself, to save himself. But Jesus, our King, died so that the whole world would be saved. In a world that continues to wrestle with nationalism and secularism, we must bear witness to Christ our King, not as one who seeks to have domination over us in the world, but a King that loves the world. As the world is drawn to displays of power that enforce pecking orders and strength, we show the world that the King we follow empties himself of his power for our sake. The King that we come, that comes to us, invites us to go to others, to empty ourselves, to love and to serve. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is a king where those on the bottom of society would be liberated from the systems of injustice. Our crucified King frees us from the sin that holds us captive and calls us not to be concerned with saving ourselves, but giving of ourselves for the well-being of our neighbor, that they may be well, that they would hear the good news of salvation that the kingdom of God offers to us. So we embody a kingdom that our King proclaims. We embody a ministry of mercy, forgiveness, and love. We advocate for those who are captive to the injustice that still exists in a broken world. And our God and King is the one who is crucified for our sake. So we follow him. We pick up the cross. Sharing the love of Jesus ushers into the world a kingdom where the poor receive good news, the oppressed go free, and where even criminals can be assured of paradise. That King does not seek to condemn or damn, but dies on a cross that all might live. Our goal as Christians is not to climb up a ladder. That's why I believe that Christianity, like it has been manipulated to fuse itself to heresies like the prosperity gospel or even nationalism, because it ensures our power and privilege in the world. It is a way where we can kind of save ourselves. But if we follow our King, we're not going to climb a ladder, we're going to go down the ladder. It's a kingdom that's not of this world. And we share glimpses of this kingdom. We get to experience this kingdom now. And we are promised that our King will dwell with us in this kingdom now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.